All right, let's pray. Our loving Father, we thank you for this time that we have to explore your word as well. Thank you that you have been gracious to us in giving us your word so that we might know you. Please help us now to have open hearts and minds to the things that you might want to say to us through this passage. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is that time of year again. Ads are on the telly for all your Christmas needs, for all the food that you might want, for all the presents that you might need. Shops are decorated with tinsel and Santa scenes. People are running around to get all their all that they need for their particular celebrations. Christmas parties and work and group breakups are happening, and you may have already been to a number of those already. People are dressing up their homes for Christmas light competitions. And we have Christmas songs playing in the shops and on the radio. And everyone, for some bizarre reason, thinks that they need to catch up with everyone else before Christmas, as if this is going to be the very last time that they will see them. And my wife has planned our Christmas tree theme for the year, and worked out how she can involve the kids in decorating it while still making the tree look exactly how she wants it to look. True, Kate? Yep. And amidst everything else going on at this time of year, and with the continued push of Christianity to the margins of society, Jesus barely gets a mention in the world, does he? And I think if we're honest, he probably also struggles to stay front and centre of our hearts and minds, does he? So for the next 4 weeks, in the lead up to Christmas, we're going to have a detailed look at what John says about Jesus in the opening 13 verses of his gospel, which culminate at Christmas with verse 14, where we have John's wonderful declaration that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So we're going to have slow the pace down for the next 4 weeks and look closely at just a couple of verses each week. And my prayer for each one of us is that through this detailed look at the first 13 verses of John's Gospel, that Jesus would be front and centre of our hearts and minds, that we would prize knowing him and enjoying him and living for him above everything else through this Christmas period. And flowing out of our personal love of Jesus, that we would pray for and proclaim to a world lost in the stuff of Christmas, so that every person would come to know and trust the Jesus whose birth we celebrate at Christmas. So that's my prayer for us. But before we look at the first two verses, let me just make a couple of brief comments about this opening section of John's Gospel, including how it connects to the rest of his Gospel. As we think on the birth of Jesus, John's Gospel doesn't seem like the natural Gospel for us to go to. Better would be something like Matthew or Luke, who detail the birth of Jesus and the events surrounding it with the angels and the shepherds and the wise men and all sorts of other things. But John has none of that. Instead, he begins with what has been called the prologue, which comprised the first 18 verses. And in these 18 verses, we have an explanation of everything that follows, from the 19th verse of chapter 1 through to the very last word of John's Gospel. So all that follows after the first 18 verses is intended to prove the accuracy of the things that John declares in these opening verses. They're a summary of everything that is found in the rest of the Gospel. They bring us some of the great truths and great thoughts that will be developed as the narrative unfolds. So with some of those contextual things in mind, let's look at the first two verses of John's Gospel. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Now, as with John's first readers, there are probably a few things that struck you as you heard those two verses read out. And the first of those things might be the words, "in the beginning." Now, John's first three words in his gospel. Now, these are familiar words. And in fact, they're the same three words that start off the whole Bible in Genesis chapter 1 with the story of creation. And in those verses we read, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And here in John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So by using the same opening words as Genesis, John is signalling to us that he is writing about a new beginning, about a new creation. Genesis 1 described the first creation by God, and John's theme throughout his gospel is about God's new creation. And this leads us to the second word, the second thing that may have struck you from these verses, and that is the phrase, "the Word." This word, John says, was there in the beginning. So what or who is this word? Well, if you didn't know already, you would just need to read on a little further, and you would see that John uses it as a way to refer to and describe Jesus. But it's a curious way, isn't it, of referring to Jesus as the Word. We might be a little more familiar with some of the other ways Jesus is referred to or described in the New Testament. So, for example, he is frequently referred to as the Christ or as Lord, and his favourite way of referring to himself is as the Son of Man. And each of these titles and descriptions of Jesus tell us something about who he is. So what is John trying to convey to us by referring to Jesus as the Word? Well, quite a lot. And probably more than we will ever know. Because John and the other New Testament writers don't actually give us a definition of what this word is. So we're left to glean what we can from the scriptural witness. But what we can say is that the Word points to the truth that is the very nature of God to reveal himself to people. So when you or I speak, we reveal something of who we are. If, for example, I talk with a passion about snow skiing, it will reveal to you that I love snow skiing. And so it is with God. When he speaks, he reveals something about who he is. But we also see throughout Scripture that God's words are powerful and effective, that they accomplish everything that he wants to accomplish. So we see in creation that he speaks and things come into being. And in this way, God also reveals something about who he is. So describing Jesus as the Word helps us understand that God is not to be thought of as aloof or indifferent, but one who is deeply concerned to reveal himself and his nature to us, his creation. And as John will proclaim in verse 14, this Word became flesh or was embodied and made his dwelling among us. God's fullest revelation of himself as the Word came in the form of Jesus. And it is he alone who reveals God's nature to us most fully. Well, having named and explained two things in these opening verses that would have struck many of us when we heard them read out, the phrases "in the beginning" and "the Word," let's now look at three staggering claims that John makes about the Word Jesus in relation to God. And the first of those is that Jesus the Word shares God's eternity. Jesus the Word shares God's eternity. So John says, "In the beginning was the Word." Just as at the start of Genesis, it says, "In the beginning, God." Now, both of these statements tell us that before all things came into being, God and Jesus existed. That they had no beginning. They were always there. So although Jesus lived for a time within as a human being, he is not bound by time. He predates existence. As an ancient writer said, there never was when he was not. Say that again. There never was when he was not. So however far back we might set the beginning of things and whatever model we might employ to describe that origin, according to John, Jesus was present at that moment and event. In the beginning was the Word. Before time and creation existed, Jesus was there. This is the first staggering claim that John makes about Jesus. The second staggering claim John makes about Jesus, the Word, is that he was with God. Jesus, the Word, was with God. So Jesus and God weren't just hanging around before everything came into being, separate from each other. They're actually together. And John repeats the claim in verse 2 where he says, he was with God in the beginning. It's reinforcing the point he makes in verse 1. And this claim suggests accompaniment and relationship. So no, not only did Jesus exist in the beginning, but he existed in the closest possible connection to the Father. The Word and God are not identical, they're not the same, but they are intimately connected with each other. They belong together. The Word was with God in the beginning. That's John's staggering second claim about Jesus, the Word. And the third one is probably the biggest. His claim is that the Word, Jesus, was God. He wasn't just there in the beginning, and he wasn't just with God, but he was and he is God. So this phrase unambiguously affirms the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is God. He's not merely saying that there is something divine about Jesus, he's affirming that he is in fact God. And so nothing higher could be said about Jesus. There is no distinction in essence between God and the Word. Both are equally God. And so what can be said about God can also be said about Jesus the Word. And so both are equally to be adored and worshipped. And this staggering claim by John is what makes Jehovah's Witness unchristian, because they fail to affirm Jesus as God. So three staggering claims about Jesus from the opening two verses of John's Gospel. Jesus the Word shares God's eternity. Jesus the Word was with God. And the Word, Jesus, was God. So as we ponder the baby Jesus at Christmas, this is who he is. And these things should impact both our attention to him and our affection for him. If he has always been, and if he was with God in the beginning, and if he is, in fact, God, then it puts everything else that we and the world might celebrate at Christmas a very distant second, doesn't it? In terms of what matters most. When the temptation or pressure or expectation is to focus on other stuff, we need to recall who this Jesus is, whom John has described in the first two verses of his gospel. And if we do, then everything else about Christmas will find its place. And if Jesus, as the Word, has always been, if he was with God in the beginning, and if he is in fact God, then our affection for him should be stirred as well. As someone else has said, if Jesus has always been, if he was with God in the beginning, and if he is in fact God, then we should worship him without cessation. We should obey him without hesitation. We should love him without reservation. And we should serve him without interruption. And finally, if Jesus has always been, if he was with God in the beginning, and if he is in fact God, then don't you think everyone needs to know him? Don't you think everyone needs to hear who this baby really is? Don't you think that everyone needs to move their attention and their affection from the stuff of Christmas to the Christ of Christmas? Now please pray for your friends, your family, your neighbours, your work colleagues. Pray that they would know Jesus. And also consider how you might help even one person know Christ this Christmas. It may be as simple as an invitation to one of our Christmas services. Or it may be giving one of the many tracts we have over in the hall to them. Well, having heard John's staggering claims about Jesus the Word in relation to God, I want to invite us to conclude by affirming these things together in the words of what is called the Nicene Creed. This is something that was developed around the 4th century, largely to combat teaching that Jesus was not, in fact, God. So we'll have that on the screen, please, Jono. And I invite you to stand, and if you feel able to affirm these things about God, and in particular about Jesus. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.